Why don't we pray and we will read our Bibles. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving us these moments that we can gather together and look at each other face to face and together lift our voice and together read your word and together take the supper and remember Jesus. And we remember it wasn't that long ago when there was a time we couldn't do that. And so as we remember that, we are thankful this morning that we can. And as we read your word, God, I pray that you would speak to us through the words that we read in the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. So Matthew 13, I'm going to jump back to where we were last time. When we were going through the book of 1 John, you saw us take a really slow pace, like a verse a week, kind of exaggerating, sometimes not. Now with Matthew 13, we're doing something different. We're taking one passage and we're just going back to it. It's going to be 3 weeks now with the current count. So different points of view. Basically, what the first part of Matthew 13 is, it's a bit of a masterclass in how to speak the gospel. We looked at that last week. And then how to receive the word of God. That's what we're going to start looking at this week. I say start because I got to the, okay, so yesterday the sermon got cut in half. Don't worry, we're not going to get out early, not that kind of cut in half. But the text and what we're going to look at is just, we were going to give short shift to the parable of the sower, and you can't shortchange that. So that's next week. This week, I want us to go back and look at the part between the parable of the sower and the explanation of the parable of the sower, some little bit of teaching Jesus did. Last week, we looked at it from the point of view of the person who is speaking the word. This week, I want us to look at it from the point of view of us as we hear the word. And of course, not just hearing the word right now, but when we open up our Bibles and we hear the word of God, when a brother or sister comes to us to confront us with something or to challenge us or to exhort us, and they open up the Bible and they say, here's what God says, and you might want to think about this based on, you know, we're friends and based what I know about your life. However God's word comes to us, how do we listen? And many times, I think we don't listen well. And I say us because that sounds accusatory, so I'm including me in that. I think we can easily read the Bible, hear God's word, and not hear God's word. And many times nothing happens when we hear God's word. When God's word goes into our ears or into our eyes, we can listen to a message and be bored. And maybe you're thinking, amen, already, this is barely started. And maybe it's when we read the Bible and you get to the end of your daily Bible reading, you say, that was just dry. Not sure I can get myself up to do this tomorrow morning. Got nothing from it. We hear God's word, we read the Bible, and it's like, I don't want to. I feel like I have to, so I make myself some days. Other days, I don't, because I don't desire it. And then when I do make myself, I get through it, but I'm done through the end of the reading, and I say, what did I even read? Did I get anything from that? Am I different because of it? And many times, hopefully we could say yes. I think many times we also can say no. I didn't get anything from it. It was dry. It was as if I hadn't done anything. That was, you know, if it wasn't reading the Bible, I would have called that a waste of time because I don't feel like anything changed in me. The reality that we're going to see in the text today, go to Matthew 13, look at verse 1. We'll start in verse 1 and then we'll skip forward. It is incredibly important how we listen to the word, incredibly important how we hear God's word. We can receive life. There's life to be found when God speaks. As you would expect, the Creator speaks and all creation comes into existence. God speaks, we listen, life comes to us. But it all depends on how we listen. So, verse 1, that same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat down beside the sea. Great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things, a parable saying, a sower went out to sow, and that's where we'll leave off today. But they were listening to the word of God, in their case, directly from the one who is the word of God, God the Son who came in flesh. We hear the word of God. Again, when other people teach, when we go to Sunday school class and there's a discussion, when we sing, how many times have you been singing a song, maybe here, maybe at home, you've been humming something, thinking, singing, and you say, wow, that's the gospel. I think that's a phrase from, where is that from? Oh, that's from Romans. How many times you've been singing something? He said, that's the word of God. Maybe it's direct quoted in the song, or maybe it's the gospel being explained. Either way, we sing the word of God. When the Spirit guides us, we hear God's word. And more than anything else, we hear God's word when we pick up the book. Maybe it's your phone and you go to YouVersion, however, pretend it's the book. You pick up the book and you open it and we read. That is how we hear God's word. God speaks to us when we do that. So jump to the point after Jesus tells the parable. We're going to read that next week again. So jump over that. We're not going to read the explanation of the parable. We're going to look at this dynamic that Jesus talked about. And last week we talked about it from the point of view of you're speaking the gospel to somebody. You're talking to somebody about Jesus and they don't want to hear it. Their heart isn't soft. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They've heard the gospel over and over and over again. It's like it's not getting through. It's an impenetrable fortress. They're not seen. And you're like, this is life. This is life. You need this. And that's what you're feeling inside. And nothing. Why is that? Well, we talked about that last week. This week, we're going to read this same passage, but through the eyes of those of us who would listen to God's word. To you and I, when we pick up the Bible and read, or in this context, we're hearing God's word. How do we get life when we listen? Go to verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" That's a logical question, right? They don't understand. A parable is a story with a point, but you have to explain it or else be smart to get it. Why not just tell them clearly what they need to hear? They were very likely concerned with the people listening, their comprehension. They're not getting it. They're not understanding. We're hearing them. I'm reading a lot into this, right? But we're hearing them talk on the beach and they're saying, well, who's the sower? I think that means this. Why don't you just tell them what it means? And then he answered them, so Jesus, to his disciples, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them," who's to them? It's everybody else who is there on the beach. He's talking to his disciples, little huddle, "To you guys it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So there is a divine work of God that would determine who receives his word. It's given. Part of hearing, part of receiving, part of seeing what we read in the Bible is beautiful is God has to do something in our hearts. To you, it's been given. To them, it's not been given. Tell me you can't think back to a time in your life when the things of God, being in church on a Sunday, singing praises, reading the Bible was the most boring sounding thing ever. You would never do that. If you did, you were dragged kicking and screaming. And as soon as you weren't to be able to be dragged anymore, you stopped. It didn't light up your heart. And now, if you're a Christian, I would be willing to bet, not in church, because that would be wrong, but that there is something in you that is lit up when you read the Bible, not every time, but it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's life. You've received, you know life, it's been, to you it's been given. There was a time when it wasn't, and then it was. How does all that work? It really doesn't matter as we're reading, because we're gonna get into what we're supposed to do as we read. But part of hearing, truly hearing the word, receiving life in the word of God is a divine work. God softens hearts and he brings those who are lost and he opens up our minds and understanding. So we know that because when you're speaking the gospel to somebody, you pray for them. If there wasn't a divine component, you wouldn't pray. You would just speak and then, you know, speak again until they got it through their thick skull, right? If I say something like thick skull and I point to you, I'm not talking about you. But we pray, God, please help them, make them, our hearts come alive, help them understand, make them love Jesus the way I love Jesus on a good day. When we read, we should also pray. Would you, as I'm reading the Bible this morning, would it be given to me to understand, to see life, to see beautiful things to that? If you say, is that a biblical prayer? Wait till the end. Very much a biblical prayer. I moved it. Sorry, Ben. Psalm 119:33. This is a prayer to God from the Bible, praying for this. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Look what he's asking God. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with all my heart. I'm reading the Bible. I want to understand. Teach me. Give me understanding. Lead me in the way of your paths, for I delight in it. So lead me. Take me in the way that I want to go, because I want to go that way, but there's a part of me that doesn't. Look at 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. When I wake up in the morning, I open the Bible. This is a good prayer to pray. I don't pray it enough. I'm going to start praying this prayer. Verse 36, incline my heart to this. Make me want this. Make me see goodness and life in this. That's a good prayer because it's given. It's given. Look at verse 12. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. There's this reality, this spiritual reality with between the Word of God and the life that it gives us. There's a negative side. You don't have, you don't seek, you're not going to find, you don't go after knowing God. You will have less and less. You'll be farther and farther away. Maybe you've gone through a time in life when you drifted farther and farther away from God. Then there's the opposite of that, right? In the same verse, it's the other side. It's if you have, if you know God, if you're seeking God, if you're going after, you will have more and more of God. You will know more. You'll understand more and more. He'll light up your heart more and more. Look at verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. It's inconceivable what Jesus is saying is happening, but you and I experience it as well. They're hearing the Son of God speak to them, that the one who is life is speaking words of life to them, and they're not hearing it. They're not getting it. That is inconceivable. It happens to you and I. We can hear, we can read words of life and not get anything out of it. Again, when was the last time that you read the Bible in the morning? You said, that was boring and dry, and I'm glad I did it because I could check it off my list, but it didn't hear God. It wasn't life. It's seeing, not seeing. I'm hearing, but I'm not hearing. I don't understand. I'm not getting anything out of this. Where are we at? I took a detour there. So a lot of times a question that you might get, I don't know, I get this quite a bit, is what about those people who have never, you know, had the gospel preached to them? Maybe they don't have Bibles in their language. They don't, and there's verses in the Bible that talk, but God explains how they have a way to him. The creation speaks forth who he is, Romans 1. No one is everyone is without excuse. But we ask that question. This passage is directed to a much more common problem, at least for you and I and for most people in this world now. Something that can and many times does happen to each one of us. We hear, we don't hear. We listen. We don't receive life. We're around. We can be around God and hear things about God and know things about God and not have a true relationship with God. And reading Jesus say those words, hearing they do not hear, seeing they do not see, nor do they understand. They'll never perceive. That should make us resolve. That's not going to be me. I'm not going to be around the things of God my whole life and not have a love for the Savior. I'm not going to learn about Jesus and not surrender to him and follow him. I'm not going to read my Bible every day. And don't stop there, that we should never say that. I'm not going to read my Bible every day and not see life and not be connected with the one who spoke these words. Go to verse 15, and we end this section. For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears, they can barely hear. Their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. And obviously, he's not talking about physical ears, heart, and eyes. They were standing there looking at him. They could see. He had healed everyone that came to him. So you can imagine that if there had been blind people there, they probably had been healed. So you could. This is one point in time when you could probably say everyone there could see and could hear physically. And he's saying, but they don't. They're not getting it. Their heart is hard. But blessed are your eyes. And then now he's talking to his disciples. Remember, he's talking about all of them, everybody else on the beach, but he's in this little mini thing with his disciples. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, do not see it, to hear what you hear, did not hear it. So look at how he ends that. He's saying this whole thing of hearing and seeing and on our hearts and something incredibly huge is at stake. What is it? The culmination of the ages. I'm here. The Messiah is here. Now we're on the other side of that. So the Messiah has come. He's been crucified. All creation was pointing to that moment. And now we're living in that moment in the middle of rebellion. The Savior has come to rescue and to restore. There is life in Jesus. It's the gospel. He's saying that's happening. That was happening then. It's happening now as well. They're not seeing it. They're not getting it. So what makes the difference between, look at verse 15 and 16. They can't see and hear. Their heart is hard. Your eyes do see. You do hear. What's the difference between those, between getting it and not getting it, hearing and seeing life? And it has to do with the three things he mentioned, with our heart, with our ears, with our eyes, the heart. What is the heart? It's a desire. It's a wanting. I want to know Jesus. I want to know God. I want to have a relationship with my Creator. I want that. I don't want to continue in rebellion. I want to be filled and not empty. It's like Zacchaeus. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Jesus came to town and Zacchaeus, what did he do? He couldn't see over the people. He happened to be, you know, vertically challenging. He couldn't see, so he was jumping around. And what did he do? He ran ahead, climbed up a tree, got in this path of Jesus. He wanted to see. He wanted to hear. And then we know because of how he responded to Jesus, he was seeking, he wanted, he desired. His heart was, that wasn't a leg thing that Zacchaeus had. That was a heart thing. He wanted, he desired to hear the Savior. It's like Psalm 119. Verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness. Give me life, your precepts. So it's, that's the law of God, the word of God. I long for that, the psalmist says. Or Psalm 63, verse 1, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. This isn't, I have to make myself read the Bible. That's not heart, that's will, right? Heart is, I want to want, I want to desire. I desire, I want to know, I want to receive. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to feel His presence. I want to be near Him. I want to read the Bible because I believe that is the Word of God and He speaks to me when I read. And that's the heart. Then the ear, that's hearing. So there's a hearing component. It's the wanting, the hearing of the Word, which you would expect if you're going to hear the Word, you have to hear it. What kind of hearing is he talking about? Not just reading the letters on the page or hearing the words, but there's a different kind of hearing. If you go to a parallel passage where Jesus taught some of the same things, look at Luke 8, verse 18. Look at how Jesus says to, well, look at what Jesus says. Look at verse 18. Take care then how you hear. And we know this is about the same, he's teaching about the same thing because it says, for the one who has more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. The very close to what was said earlier in this same passage. But look at his application to them. Take care, be careful how you hear. Different ways of hearing. For those of us who are parents, unfortunately, we know this too well. You can be heard and not heard. Frustrating, right? Be careful how you hear. If God is talking, the one who hears, who's listens, you and I, we're responsible for how we hear. We can't close the Bible and say, oh, it wasn't given to me today to hear the Word of God. I didn't get anything, didn't feel anything. No, be careful how you hear. You didn't listen well. You didn't hear right. I didn't hear right. It reminds me of when the apostles were preaching in the book of Acts is recorded. Look at Acts 17, verse 11. Look at what it says about this group of people. how they heard, how they listened. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Look at what they did. They were more noble. Why? They received the word with all eagerness. So that's heart, right? I want to hear. I want to know. I want. That's heart. Examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They examined them. They dug in. They thought about it. It's memorizing the word. It's reflecting on it. It's trying to understand it. It's reading and saying, okay, it says, therefore, that means because of this and something else. So how are those things connected? What are the actual words saying on the page? God's saying something. I want to understand this. I'm going to remember. Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to memorize that little snippet and take it with me. Like right now that I'm inclined my heart to your word. I want to memorize that. I'm going to grab that. I'm going to reflect on it as I go through the day. I don't understand this thing that I read this morning. What does it mean when it said Jesus did this and this because of this? What is that even talking about? I'm going to think about that today. And maybe when I'm driving, I'm not going to put on YouTube because that would be dangerous. I'm going to just in silence think about that verse and think, huh, so what is that actually? I'm going to reflect on the word of God. Be careful how you listen. Listen with care. Listen to understand. Not, this is the way, I don't know about you, the way I listen a lot of times, not to be able to debate. So if we're talking about something, I'm listening, I'm filtering, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to say next? How am I going to, yeah, he's saying that, but I'm also going to, okay, now I know what I'm going to say. Now finish. I'm ready to say my thing. No, don't listen to debate. Don't listen to be able to just discard it, right? You ever listen to somebody like somebody in your household comes to you with like, hey, we should do this. And you're listening. You say, I'm not going to do that. So I'm only listening to this because I'm trying to get to the point where I can say, oh, this is why we're not going to do it. Again, those of us who are parents, did I just let one of our tricks out of the bag? That's not how we should listen to the word of God. Read and tell, oh, this doesn't apply to me. Okay, good. I'm just going to go on. Also, don't read to justify. Don't justify your thing. It's like, I like doing this or being, I'm this way. So I'm reading. Oh, see, it's okay for me to be the way I am. Don't read to justify. Don't read to hear God. That is listening well, because we want to receive something we don't have. And then our eyes, it's seeing, we want to hear with our hearts. We hear with our ears. We say, I really want to understand. And then with our eyes, it's understanding. It's seeing the ever increasing profundities of the great realities of who God is and what it means to have a relationship with Him and what it means to be surrendered to Him and to live in the promises that He gives. And to change, to be more conformed to Jesus, it's seeing. And again, that's obviously something that God gives, right? God is, as we read and we try to understand, and God lets us see. You ever read a Bible verse or a section of the scripture and you read and you're like, oh, I hadn't seen this. And I've read this many, many times. I hadn't seen this thing and the way it relates to my life today. And that's the Spirit with His living and active word getting inside of us and making it alive, making us see. That's why we would pray like David, because that's a divine work that God does as we read. See how what we do is connected with what God does. You don't see if you don't try to see. You don't hear if you don't try to understand. You don't want to read the Bible if you don't try to want to read the Bible. But for all those things to happen, God has to incline your heart. God has to give you understanding like David prayed for. God has to look at verse 18 of Psalm 119. Open my eyes. And if you say, well, David, open your own eyes, read the Bible. You're reading the Bible, right? So just see it. Just you see it. He says, no, I need help seeing. If I'm going to see, I want to see, but you need to help me see. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Wanting our heart, hearing with our ears, seeing it and getting it with our eyes. That is a difference. That makes all the difference between receiving life when we hear God's word and not receiving life. And the promise is, go back to Matthew, Matthew 13, verse 15, the end of verse 15. The promise is that when we do desire with our hearts and try to understand and read and try to get it and think about it and try to see, and God, what does He say? They would see with their eyes. They would hear with their ears. They would understand with their heart. And they would be converted. I would heal them. That's the promise. We receive life when we go after God through His Word. So what should we do? What's the application for this? If you're not a Christian, if you've never surrendered to Jesus by repenting, being baptized, this is an invitation for you to hear and receive the gospel. And maybe you feel God tugging on your heart. I don't have words to describe that, but I felt it the day I became a Christian. And I've talked to enough people as they were feeling it, as they were getting ready to get in the water. You feel that. It's like I'm being pulled. And I hear and I understand the gospel, and I have rebelled against the Father. I do want to become God's child. I have to surrender to Him. He's going to be my Lord and Master. I will repent. I will turn my life over to Him. I'll be baptized. I'll go in the water and come out. When you do that, to you is given what we just read in verse 15, you'll be converted, God's child. He will heal you. For those of us that are Christians, what should we do? What do we take away from this? We should dedicate ourselves to listening more and more and better and better. I normally don't do scripture in the application, but today we're gonna go somewhere else. I want to read a section of scripture where the people of God are restoring worship. They're restoring the city of God in Jerusalem. This is in the Old Testament. They're restoring worship in the temple. They're restoring God's word and God's law. And look at how they listen. And this is how you and I should take what Jesus said and say, okay, I want to listen like that every day. How do I do that? Go to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. It says, all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read it from, facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence, early morning until midday, just reading the Bible. Would you go to a church like that? I stand up and say, okay, early morning, well, not really. So we have to go to mid-afternoon. Okay, so next 4 hours, I'm gonna just read. I don't know if I could do that. That's a lot of water I'd have to drink. Okay, he did that though, in the presence of the men and the women, and those who understood, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Also, of course, we're not going to stand for 4 hours and read the Bible on a Sunday. So how do we do that? How do we incline our heart and our ears and our eyes so that we, like these people, do what Jesus said and listen to God through His Word? It's getting up in the morning and the first thing we reach for. And I don't mean this in a legalistic way. It's like you have to have morning devotions and no. But also, yes, the first thing we should reach for when we wake up is our Bible. Your phone, if you can reach for your phone to open the Bible app and not open up YouTube or your email or Facebook or something else. And every day, honestly, that is my struggle because I read YouVersion on my phone and I struggle when I grab it in the morning. I roll over, grab the phone, and it's like, what do I click on first? If you can do that, first thing we should grab is our Bible. We should read for a while. We should think about what we read. We should say, what are you trying to tell me? What happened there? Wait a second. What did I just read? Oh, that was a psalm about hope in God. Okay, how does that relate to my life today? What should I do? We should ask those questions. We should dialogue with God. That's prayer. That's part of prayer. We should dialogue with God about His Word. What do you want me to do based on what I just read in your Word? You said it's living and active. I want it to be. We should pray as we're doing that. God, incline my heart to your word. Make me see beauty in your word. Incline my heart to this and not to all the stuff that I have to do today. And we should pray that in the morning. And then we should take that word that we read in the morning. We should take it with us in our mind. We should grab onto phrases. We should grab onto pieces and take it with us. And we should read throughout the day. We should be people who are always going back into the Bible and saying, God, I want to hear you. I want to hear you more today. We should be people with well-read Bibles. Our phone, the Gorilla Glass gives out because we're just swiping through the Bible so much. I know that's impossible. We should read the Bible that much. That's what we should do. And as we do it, we should say, God, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. I really, really, really want to. I feel dried. I don't feel anything. I want to hear your voice. And we should try to understand what we read. That's what we should do. So what does it look like for you to do that more? And now as we end around the Lord's table. Go back to the verse we were just at. Well, actually, go to verse 13. Because in Christ, these bits that I'm going to read right now, these are true for us. If you're in Jesus, if you've repented and been baptized and you're in Christ, as you take bread and juice, as we take that and we remember what our Savior did on the cross in our place, he died for us. As we remember that, we're remembering this is true for us because we're in him. He answered them, verse 13, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. If you're in Christ, that's you. That's me. And the reason why is because Jesus died on a cross in our place and we've been reconciled to the Father. Go to verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And yeah, we can always hear more and better. But if we're in Christ, that's us. That's true for you and I. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, did not see it, to hear what you hear, did not hear it. If you're in Christ, you've heard the gospel. You've entered into Jesus. How many of the prophets foretold that they would have loved to have been baptized into Christ? And you have been. They would have loved to have received the Spirit like you did. And we have. So let's remember that as we thank Jesus for his sacrifice. God, we thank you for your goodness and kindness. Thank you that we can know you, that we in Christ confidently could say, I am your child. And even as we struggle to want to incline our hearts, to want to hear you more, and to we struggle to listen better, to see and understand better, oh, we thank you that we have seen and heard, that you have brought us close, that to us it has been given to know you. We are overwhelmed by that grace. And we thank you for Jesus and what he did. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.